With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Welcome back, Tiger fans. It is Before the Box Score, your preeminent preview podcast for the Varsity Missouri Tiger football team, 2019 edition. I am your host, Nate Edwards. We're doing this again. Second episode. We're on a roll. Can you believe it? They want us to do another.
Wow. That must be a good thing.
It has to be a good thing because the dulcet tones that are joining me is Mr. Samuel Stava. Say hello to the people, Sammy.
Hey guys, we are just starting episode 2 now of the Box Score.
They can't stop us. We've already hit record. So when we last left our listenership, we were diving headfirst into the 2019 football schedule for our beloved Missouri Tigers. We had stopped at Ole Miss, which was our homecoming game of this year. And after homecoming, we get to the first conference road game. And it's what is it, October 19th. That's our second road game of the season. Against the Smart Kid School, Vanderbilt Commodores. So I guess my question for you, Samuel, which player on Vandy's roster scares you the most?
Well, I think Keyshawn Bond is the obvious answer here. So we want to go with the obvious answer. I'll go with a different answer. I'll go with Jared Pinckney. They're a senior tight end. I mean, so far Pinckney has landed on some preseason All-American lists, and you just don't see that often at Vanderbilt. And obviously, he's an explosive player. He had 111 receiving yards versus Notre Dame last season, and that just shows you the potential he has.
For sure, yeah. At Mizzou, we love a good tight end, obviously. And yeah, he's a very good one. Kind of underrated. Now, obviously, he's getting preseason accolades, but still, you know, when you're on a team with Keyshawn Vaughn and Kalijah Lipscomb, sometimes you get overshadowed a little bit. But no, I think that's a, especially how we covered tight ends last year, that's a legitimate worry.
Vandy's just an intriguing team. I mean, they had the senior core of Keyshawn Vaughn, Kalijah Lipscomb, and Jared Pinkney. That's their main core. I think the big question is what they're going to get out of the quarterback.
That is the question, because we got to figure out who's going to be taking the snaps first and foremost, and then how they're going to do. So it looked like, I don't know if you've seen anything different. Riley Neal, that's who I was hearing.
Yeah, the transfer out of Ball State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like Riley Neal at least has dibs on the first start of the season. We'll see how he does. At Ball State, he wasn't super impressive, but then again, it was Ball State. No disrespect to the Cardinals. But if you are Riley Neal, all you got to do is hand off to Keyshawn Vaughn and throw it to Kalijah Lipscomb or Jared Pinkney.
Yeah, let Lipscomb, Pinkney, and Vaughn do all the work.
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle Shurmur was last year's quarterback. I think Kyle Shurmur was very underrated as well.
Yeah, if they had him this year, man, they would have, like,
they really would have, yeah. Unfortunately, they do not. But, they've got defensively, head coach Derek Mason finally turned the reins over to another guy, Jason Tarver. And they only get about 43% of last year's defensive production back. So they're kind of starting over, which is good, from a unit that ranked 57th, which was an improvement from 2017. So I don't know.
Their schedule to begin the year.
Yeah, go ahead and rattle that off for me.
Georgia. What's their first three games? Georgia. That's in Nashville. But then they go at Purdue. Then they host LSU. That is daunting.
And we know how fun Purdue can be.
Not fun.
That's right. Not fun is the joke there. And the thing about Vandy is that, you know, they can play it tough, but it always seems like if they lose, it's like in that second half when depth starts getting exposed. So, you know, it'll be interesting. Vandy really hasn't made a whole lot of movement in the win column, although from a quality standpoint, they've been steady risers since Derek Mason took over. How do you feel about this game? They've been a pretty reliable win, but what do you think?
I think it's a very sneaky game. I mean, it's in Nashville. It's their first conference road game, so that's never easy. But if Mizzou wants to have the season they hope to expect, they better be at least 6-0 or at least 5-1 heading into this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, this is the easy conference road trip. Like, you have to win this one. Because the next week is what I called the doom game. For all of you who read my preview about Kentucky, you saw that I had kind of a crisis of character. Kentucky has broken my spirit. I have no hopes of winning since Kentucky has owned us for the past 4 years. So I guess, Sammy, can you tell me why Missouri has had such a hard time against Kentucky?
Well, I don't know what it is, but Stoops has just been out coaching Barry Odom lately these past four seasons. I mean, and whenever a team has a lengthy winning streak against a certain opponent, I mean, that team's confidence just starts to grow knowing that you can beat this team. If Kentucky looks up at the schedule, hey, Missouri's on there, and they kind of start to get their confidence going on. They can beat Mizzou.
Well, whatever black magic they have over us, it's very effective. They don't return a whole lot from last year's team, only 51% of their overall production.
Losing Josh Allen and Benny Snell.
That's pretty much, yeah. 64% of that offense returns, but only 39% of the defense, which, again, Josh Allen was most of that production. So, man, I just – you look at Terry Wilson, their quarterback, and he, you know, he gets like 5 yards per attempt when he's passing. He's only threw for 1,800 yards. He only rushed for 726. Like, he's not a threat. There's a brand new running back. They have one good wide receiver and then a bunch of nobodies behind him. I look at this, you know, I look at the lack of names, the lack of, like, proven talent, and I go, we got him. And then I remember they're Kentucky, and I go, well, how are we going to lose this one?
Thing. I mean, Mizzou just needs to avoid losing this game like they did last year. I mean, if they want to have the season that they want, just like South Carolina, to a lesser extent, because this is still a conference road game, but they need to beat South Carolina and Kentucky this year.
I just don't know. It's at Lexington. It's at Kroger Field, the mighty Kroger Field. I'm not going to count it as a win until it actually happens, because Barry Odom's never beaten him.
Kentucky plays 8 home games this year, which is incredible.
Good God, really?
Yeah, usually it's 7-5 or 6-6, but they have 8 home games and 4 road games this year. That is something to take advantage of if you're Kentucky.
They need as many advantages as they can get. I don't. Other than us, they don't really have winning streaks over teams. So, man, 8 games at home.
Yeah.
It's a shame they don't have any returning production. Otherwise, they could really make some noise, man. Hey. Well, we'll see. Yeah. I don't feel good. I don't know. Do you feel fine? Is this a win? Is this a TBD?
I feel better about this game than Vandy, actually. I don't know why, but I don't know.
Wow.
I just think Missouri has better weapons. I mean, Kentucky just doesn't have a whole lot on offense.
But they never do, exactly. And they still beat us.
I for some reason, I just feel a lot better about this game than the previous seasons. I think it's time for them to get the Kentucky monkey off their back.
The Kentucky monkey. Our reckoning is here. We will correct the course. We will finally beat the basketball school of the SEC. Okay. Okay. I got to be sipping that Kool-Aid you got there. But we'll see. That's a long ways off. We'll see how the team is doing. But, you know, here's the other thing. Right after we go to Kentucky, we get Georgia at home. And you want to talk about a legitimate streak against us. The Georgia Bulldogs are it. They're breaking in new coordinators, James Coley and Dan Lanning, at offensive and defensive coordinator, respectively. They're Georgia's number one recruiting classes for the past 2 years. They got Jake Fromm coming back. They got 62% of their production coming back, a lot on defense. Samuel, young, optimistic Samuel, is there any stopping the Georgia machine?
I am optimistic, but not about this one. They're just no stopping this Georgia team, I don't think. If Mizzou is going to win this game, they're going to have to play their perfect game to win. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of 3 teams that match up well with Georgia in the country. That's Alabama, Clemson, maybe Ohio State. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say, though, Mizzou catches Georgia at the absolute right time between their two biggest rivals, Florida and Auburn. So if you ever want to get the chance to knock off Georgia, this is the time. Maybe they overlook Mizzou. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe they overlook a little bit. I don't know. But in the middle of Georgia's biggest rivals, Florida and Auburn, I think this is where you kind of want them.
I agree. And last year showed that Georgia can overlook opponents. They absolutely can.
Yeah.
Because they were doing it to us, really. We were hanging with them for until about the fourth quarter.
The fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is it possible? Yeah, it's college sports. It's absolutely possible. But it's also college sports, and they have way more talent than we do. So, okay, Sammy. So, of all of Georgia's blue chip talent, which one is the most impressive to you?
Georgia's running backs. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Herschel Walker days. I mean, they're just known for running backs. They're running back years. I mean, you know, Herschel Walker. Then obviously, you know, John Moreno is a big name. And then, what if Todd Gurley, Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, and now you got DeAndre Swift, and I expect him to have a big year.
Yeah, he should. I mean, he's had big years before. I mean, he's already run for like 1,600 yards, which is insane. You know, but that's kind of what you expect from blue chip talent like this. You know, they got 4- and 5-star guys all across this roster at quarterback, offensive line, running back, receiver. The big hope that you have is that they are starting completely over at receiver.
Yeah.
And you got to hope that some of those don't pan out, which is insanity to think that. But if they have to be a little one-dimensional while they break in young receivers, that certainly benefits us because our secondary should be pretty good, and our run defense has been pretty stout the past couple of years. So, yeah, it is. Riley Ridley as well. You know, those guys made a lot of people look very stupid. So you're grasping at straws here because the Georgia defense is going to be stout as usual, and you got to hope that you can just contain them on offense, make a couple plays on defense contain them on offense, make a couple plays against that defense and just kind of hold on. A couple turnovers would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, if they win their turnover battle,
the one time we beat them, it was in Athens. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if it's back to the 2013 special season, maybe you get some special vibes going into this game. It's about 8-0 going into this game. If it was 8-0 going,
goodness.
The magnitude of this game would be
It would be the afternoon slot on CBS, right?
Yeah, or maybe. Yes,
maybe.
Maybe. Game day.
Yeah,
there.
I mean,
I
would be huge. It would be huge. I would love to see that. I don't know if it's going to happen.
And this is the first game we'll be playing a ranked at least.
Yeah, to preseason. Yeah.
Preseason.
And really, probably, it's going to hold true.
And Mizzou was not ranked.
That's true.
Disrespect.
I like sneaking up on people. I don't care about preseason ranks too much.
But exactly. And we are the number one unranked team.
So there, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Number one, baby. Number one unranked team. So yeah, we'll see. You know, we can afford to lose this one. You just got to hope that Georgia loses two.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And that's not Georgia's not going to lose two, are they?
Yeah, probably not going to happen. Probably.
Nah.
But that's okay.
But we can hope.
Absolutely, you can hope. Also, Georgia fans are, like, super nice. I don't know how many you know, but all the ones that I've talked to in Columbia are, like, super accommodating, very friendly. All my online interactions have been very positive. So, shout out to the Georgia fan base.
Yeah. Unlike Tennessee fans.
Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. First, let's touch on Florida.
Yes.
Which in today's, well, if you're hearing this Thursday, it would have been yesterday's preview. What I called, we are basically the Kentucky to Florida's Missouri, in so much that we have a very unfathomable winning streak against one of the better programs in the country. Don't question it. Just embrace it as long as you can. I guess my question for you, Sam, is this the year that Florida finally produces a consistent, competent offense?
Well, it's one of those things where I'll believe it when I see it, you know? I mean, but, I mean, there is potential there because Dan Mullen is an offensive guy. He was an offensive coordinator before. I mean, taking Mississippi State, had great offensive years, and so the potential is there. He's got some talent to work with this season. I'm expecting big years from Felipe Franks, Lamaje Perine, and Von Jefferson.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. And, you know, they hired Jim McElwain, who was supposed to be an offensive guy. And, I mean, you know, I talked about it in the piece. You know, everyone was kind of looking at Frank's last games after the Missouri debacle, what he did afterwards. And, like, he was good. You know, he completed 65% of his passes, you know, almost 900 yards and eight touchdowns and no interceptions. But as a couple of readers pointed out, and what is easy to point out, is that that was against South Carolina, Idaho, Florida State, and Michigan. And of those teams, two of them have competent defenses. And it's like, and that's all you could do? So I don't know. That's I think Frank's development towards the end of the year is one of the things that powered the narrative for the Florida hype this offseason. And I think you can actually question the legitimacy of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy that they come in number 8 in the rankings in top 25. I mean, but we'll get to find out early what this Florida offense is capable of, and they play Miami on Saturday. Yeah, we'll find out if this Florida
offense is good. They do.
And I don't know. That is a tough test.
Get a tough test.
Exciting game, first game of the season. Are you a fan of Week 0?
Absolutely, yeah. I love Week 0. I mean, you could put, well, yeah, you I can mean, put Rice Stanford in Australia, and I'll watch it. I know, because I did.
I think it's just kind of a tease. But this is a big game, so I'm excited for Miami.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, I like watching teams right. That I know that I yeah. would never have a chance in hell of watching any other week. Again, you know, we're so starving, you could throw anything out there and we'll gobble it up. So getting the U in Florida as a kind of your appetizer is pretty dang good. Although I feel like it's gonna be a gigantic punt fest. We'll see how it goes, but yeah, I mean, I guess Florida, you know, for us kind of getting back into the season, do you foresee this as another year where we extend the winning seasons, or is this kind of the year where they bite us back?
I think Florida is going to remember what happened in this swamp last season. I think they'll be ready to go in Columbia, but I mean, talk about Florida, warm weather team. They play in Columbia middle of November. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough, maybe some tough weather conditions for them, I don't know. But I'm thinking Florida gets us this year.
You never bet against a streak.
Yeah.
But this is an unfathomable streak, you know. I don't know. I think one of the better side stories about Florida is their defensive coordinator, Todd Grantham. He's a pretty good defensive coordinator, but he's also like a super emotional blitzer. So in the story I talked about third and Grantham. So when Todd Grantham wants to really stop a drive, wants to really get you on third down, he tends to send everybody, and coordinators have really picked up on this. So on standard down, so that's like first, second, third down with like, you know, 10, 5 or 3 yards to go. Yeah. They're really good. They'll stop you. But on passing downs where it's, you know, first and 15, second and 10, third and long, they are 84th on average. So he will stop you cold the first two and then let you off the hook on the third. And I don't know if I'm sure he's aware. They do enough self-scouting that they have to be aware, but he's also been doing this for a very long time, and I don't know if he's going to change or not. So there are always opportunities against the Grantham defense, and I'd like to think that we continue the winning streak this year. We obviously have a lot of talent that can extend the streak, but yeah, it's tough to see Mizzou beat Florida for a third consecutive
I think they
year.
Match up well, but it's going to be a close game, but I see Florida pulling away late.
Yeah, for sure. And that'll suck, but you know, we're possibly ineligible for the postseason anyway. It's mostly just to see how we stack up against that kind of talent.
Yeah, it'll be good metrics. Yeah,
for sure. Speaking of measuring sticks, let's talk about Tennessee. This one drops today, if you're listening to this on Thursday. I kind of went philosophical, a little introspective with Tennessee and their struggle against historical expectations and kind of the rest of what the SEC is doing. And Tennessee kind of strikes me as a program kind of constantly in crisis, a crisis of identity of what they used to be and where they are now. And I feel bad for them. I want them to do well, you know. But yeah. I guess, you know, Tennessee fans always get mocked for unrealistic expectations. And I guess for you, Sammy, what are Tennessee fans expecting this year?
I wonder if they're expecting, well, delusional ball fans. I wonder if they're expecting SEC East titles. I mean, that's what they expect from the program. I mean, and college football is a lot. College football is better with Tennessee relevant, don't you think?
You know, I always feel like any sports writer believes that their sport would be better if X team is good. And that team is typically a team that was good when they were younger, when they were coming up on the sport. Tennessee won a title when I was like 12 or 13, something like that. And I was kind of on the periphery. But it only helps the league. It only helps, you know, your resume for all teams to be good. So yeah, I would agree with that. It'd be nice to have Volunteers back on top.
Yeah, but I think what ball fans should be expecting this year is just to get to a bowl game this season. I mean, or I don't know, Vanderbilt. Once.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh man. Well, I do feel bad for Tennessee fans. They don't do themselves any favors. They tend to be a little tinfoil hatty, kind of throwing in the balls at any opportunity that they can get. But yeah, I mean they're a national title team, and they want to get back to that, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, and they're heading in the right direction under Jeremy Pruitt. I mean they even though they didn't go to a bowl game last year, they
beat Auburn and Kentucky. Yeah,
two ranked teams at the time they played them, and Kentucky. Yeah.
So in my piece, I mentioned that when we made the jump from the Big 12 to the SEC, a lot of fans, myself included, tried to pair up Big 12 teams with an SEC counterpart. And obviously there's some obvious ones, you know, Oklahoma's Alabama, you know, Texas is Florida, Kansas is Kentucky, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I always viewed Tennessee as Nebraska.
That is a perfect comparison.
Yeah, I
can see that. That's just the way the programs are right now, and the expectations of the programs. That's exactly. That's a good.
So I did some research, and Tennessee is 10th in all time wins with 6 national championships. Nebraska is fifth in all-time wins with 5 national championships.
Yes.
But those teams, since 2000, Tennessee has a 58% win percentage with only 4 division titles, and Nebraska has a 62% win percentage with 7 division titles. Really, the numbers back it up. But get this. I took a search for all teams that have won a national championship. And I found a team who has 9 national championships, most of them in the teens, the 19 teens, but they have 9 of them, who has a 56% win percentage with two conference titles, one division title, and 15 bowl games since 2000. And that team is the Pittsburgh Panthers. So Tennessee is less Nebraska and more Pitt. I'm so sorry, Vol fans. I'm so sorry. But yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, Jerry Pruitt has maintained pretty good recruiting. And, you know, that's what Butch Jones was known for, and that's what he brought into Tennessee. He just couldn't do anything with it. You know, it's the Sabanization of the SEC. Jeremy Pruitt worked with Saban for a long time. He brought in Jim Chaney as offensive coordinator, who I love. He makes the most out of everything that he has. So, you know, the big thing is that Tennessee returns the second most production of any team in the country. And if you think that experience leads to improvement, then boy, Tennessee has it in spades.
Yeah, I think they're in for a big improvement year. I expect them to get to a new game, maybe 7-8.
Yeah. That would be a huge improvement. But you got to think, you know, conference football is a zero-sum game. You know, we can like Dan Mullen and Derek Mason and Jeremy Pruitt and Will Miller. We can like these guys and think they're good, but there's only so many wins to go around. So who gets the losses? And it's kind of, you know, Vandy and Tennessee get those losses. And it's like, well, okay, so if Tennessee's doing better, then that means we're losing or South Carolina's losing or, you know, we cannibalize each other and each team is like 5-3 in conference. So, you know, you want these guys to do well, but just not against your team. So I don't know where the wins come from, but I do think they're in a good direction. So you think they will make a bowl by the end of the season?
I think there's a good chance that every team in the SEC East makes a bowl.
Oh.
How about that prediction?
Put it down. You heard it here first.
Vanderbilt, because of their tough schedule, that's my only question.
Yeah.
But I think the SEC East top to bottom, like, it's top to bottom. I mean, it's better than the SEC West. SEC West is top heavy.
Yeah.
And they'll just beat up on each other.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, let's wrap this up. Our last team to preview for the 2019 season is our hated rival, Arkansas, to the south. And, of course, the Razorbacks are going through a rebuild, moving from Brett Bielema's Gurr man ball running down their throat 40 times to Chad Morris's Clemson-inspired spread, up-tempo spread. And to put it kindly, last year could have gone better for Arkansas. I guess for you, Sammy, how long do you think it's going to take Chad Morris to rebuild Arkansas back to competence?
Well, I do think Chad Morris is a good coach. I think he's the right man job at Arkansas. I mean, but it is going to take a while, and I hope Razorback fans realize that, because they went 2-10 last season. They played the best division in all college football, and I think they had most players in the conference enter the transfer portal this offseason.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
so
wow.
I think they just need to be patient, but yeah, it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, you can see... You can see what Chad Morris wants to do. And, yeah, you mentioned the transfer portal. And it goes both ways, right, because they brought in Ben Hicks, the quarterback from SMU. They brought in Nick Starkle, a former quarterback at Texas A&M. You know, they've got transfers coming in as well as transfers going out. And, you know, they tried to get some youth in there last year. They was mostly just kind of play whoever can function. But when you have a new quarterback – you have a running back who is super inefficient. You know, Rakeem Boyd, who only averaged about 6 yards per carry, but only on a handful of carries, and really only had about 40% success. And then a receiving core who I think only one guy topped 500 yards, and he's gone. So you got a lot of untested folks coming up. And, yeah, it's going to be a couple of years, especially when you're trying to rebuild in the big, bad Alabama-run SEC West.
I mean, they got some pieces there. I mean, Devon Whaley, they're going back. But, I mean, there's just, I don't know, there's not much there yet. But, I mean, Arkansas has a good fan base. I mean, but it'll take some time.
We do. They do. I think one of the more surprising things for me, and this is definitely good news if you are a if you're a Razorback fan, is they're recruiting. You mentioned that, you know, they won two games last year. Two. And their recruiting class this offseason, it ranked 20th. It was 20th in the country for a two-win team. So, you know, what they're pitching to recruits, what they're selling, people are definitely, you know, buying. So, you know, you can see kind of a, you know, redoing the culture, rebuilding the infrastructure, re-overhauling the roster. That takes time. Ask Mizzou. We've been through it. But
this takes so much more time and culture than going into basketball.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. You gotta rebuild 22 starters plus their backups instead of, you know, 10 guys.
I think Mizzou fans should be fortunate that this has been a fast rebuild process. I mean, we're kind of back to respectability now.
All things considered, yeah. We'll see what this season brings, but it has been steady improvement, and you know you can see the roadmap that Morris has laid out for the Razorbacks, and you know, redoing that culture and installing a brand new style and all that stuff. And yeah, it's going to be bumpy, but I'm with you. I think he's the guy for it. You just got to hope that the boosters and the fan base don't bail after 2 years. And then they have to start all over again.
But there is a plan there, so let's see what Arkansas has in store for this season and their rebuilding process.
Absolutely. So that's it. You know, if we are banned from the postseason, that Arkansas will be the last game. Now, fingers crossed, we, you know, win the East and get to the SEC championship, and then, you know, play a bowl on New Year's Eve. But you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. You know, we've been pretty optimistic on Mizzou's chances. We've pointed out a couple of things, you know, positive things about other teams, teams that we can beat, and teams we can lose to. You don't have to put a number on it, but overall, do you think that this fans are going to look back and say, yes, this was a successful season for the 2019 Tigers?
I think it will be. I just think with everything they have going for them, except the postseason ban. They got Bryant. They got the schedule that works out. They got plenty of talent surrounding Bryant. They've got the new end zone.
They got beer.
Mentioned that, but they've got so many things going for them. The fan base is so excited for like the first time, maybe since 2013, 2014 days. I mean, I say. My baseline expectation for the season is 9-3. If they get to that, that is a solid year. That is, you should be happy. Pitt should be happy with that year, with a 9-3 record.
We should be happy. And we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we don't lose any stupid games. We just lose the ones we are anticipated to lose and play well in them.
You're supposed to beat. You can lose a couple, but don't lose.
Please, God, do not lose the stupid ones. So the season starts against a pesky team that could be a stupid loss in Wyoming. That's in 2 weeks. Team sounds like they're feeling good, playing good, looking forward to it. We are as well. We will be back next week doing a little bit of pre-gaming for you guys with the Wyoming Cowboys, looking at depth charts, potential matchups, and maybe a couple secret things that we'll tell you later. Who knows? All right, so for Mr. Sammy Stava, I am Nate Edwards. Thank you for tuning in to Before the Box Score. We'll do better next time. We'll see you then. MIZ.